Take your Bibles, please, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. If you love your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad to be in church.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Church is a good idea.
That's right.
Amen. Church is God's idea.
Amen.
He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know there's one place on this in this world that's closer to heaven than any other place? And that's the church. At the same time, it's one place in this world closer to hell than any other place, and that's the church. Somebody say amen. Have you ever wondered why you could come in here and sit in the presence of God and leave out of here, and 2 minutes later feel the hot breath of evil on the back of your neck? Have you ever thought about that? Well, did you know that this is the one place that's closer to heaven than anywhere else? And it's the one place closer to hell than anywhere else. Somebody say amen. I'm just trying to get you warmed up to how I talk. And I'm really trying to get warmed up to how y'all act. I preach a lot up north and out west, and I have to do it by myself, so I'm glad to be in South Georgia.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
And thank God for your preacher. Amen.
Amen.
They're not a dime a dozen.
That's right.
I don't, what popular opinion may think, they're not a dime a dozen. Hirelings are,
yeah. Right.
But not a real pastor.
Right.
You ought to be thankful you got one.
Amen.
You ought to love him and pray for him. By the way, Sister Harrington is not old enough to be a grandmama. Him, yes, but not her. Y'all married when y'all was 7. Mom and Dad had to sign papers for that, I'll guarantee you that. Y'all got married in Alabama. Luke chapter 23. I was real nervous coming in, but everything seemed familiar. I was met by the care team. I like that. I did that too, Brother Robbie. Hallelujah. And thank God for that. Ain't you glad? Care team, I don't know who you are. Thank you. That's a blessing, a wonderful, marvelous. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Give them a hand. They don't get paid. So you're like a cowboy that got bucked off in the, before 8 seconds. Pay them. Amen. That's all you get, a hand clap. Well, there's a reward in heaven for you. I don't like going to a church where nobody shakes my hand. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A friendly church is a growing church. And one of the worst complaints I've ever heard, 16 years of pastoring, was the worst complaint I've ever heard is they were not friendly at that church. And I ain't never been to a church that had a care team that wasn't friendly. So thank you for that. And by the way, if you're a first time attender here, please come back. I ain't the regular guy. Come back and hear the pastor, all right? And thank you for coming. You honor us with your presence. And please fill that information out. We sell all your information to companies, benefits. I'm just kidding. We don't. We're not going. I don't reckon. I didn't. They may not. If you start getting strange calls from telemarketers from India, a guy with a thick Indian accent whose name is Chris, then you'll know the preacher sold your information to somebody. Got to pave the parking lot somehow. Luke chapter number 23. Would you stand with me, would you please? If you're able to. And let's read together just 2 verses of scripture. I want you to come with me now to Calvary. Calvary is the great equalizer. Calvary is the common denominator. Calvary is what we all have in common. You wouldn't know me and I wouldn't know you. You probably wouldn't like me and I probably wouldn't like you if it wasn't for Calvary. I wouldn't know the preacher if it wasn't for Calvary. Somebody say amen. And thank God for Calvary. Somebody said the ground at Calvary is level. Y'all must come by way of the cross. You're not bypass Calvary. It doesn't matter if you came from a religious background or an unrighteous background. You'll not bypass Calvary.
Right.
God's going to see to it that you find yourself at the old rugged cross somewhere, sometime, probably going to be today for somebody. Amen? If you've ever been to Calvary, thank God you'll never forget that. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about Gordon's Calvary. I'm not talking about a 15-hour plane ride to Tel Aviv, an 8-hour bus ride up to Jerusalem outside the Gordon's Calvary. You may never have physically ever been there, but thank God if you've ever knelt down at an old-fashioned altar, calling on God out of a heart of repentance, He carried you to an old rugged hill called Golgotha. Hallelujah. You were there.
Amen.
Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Let's read our text today. Luke chapter 23, verse 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Let's stop reading at the end of verse 34. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Would you pray for me and pray with me today? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that's in the house of God. Lord, your word said, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Thank you that there was liberty to sing. Thank you that there was liberty for those who wanted to come and pray. Lord, you said my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer to all people. And Lord, I pray and trust today that there'll be liberty in preaching. I pray that you'd bypass the feeble preacher and that you'd say something to the heart of your people. We'll give you all the credit and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Come now to Calvary. Now I want you to understand here as we survey this old lonely hill that there are things that pop out at us. You can only see something that God shows you. Somebody say amen. And I've been noticing, preacher, that every time I open my Bible, I'm seeing the number 3. Now, you students of the Bible are probably familiar with what we would call numerology and the study of numbers that are in the Bible, but I've never been a student of numerology. I don't like math. Somebody say amen. I focus more on what the Bible actually says. Can I get a witness? Amen. But I'm not alone. 4 out of 3 people are not good at math, so help me. Now, okay, yes. Now, okay, 4, and yeah, all right. All right, but I want you to notice the amount of threes that there are. Just to name a few, Mark's gospel said it was the 3rd hour. Jesus was 33 years old. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He went into Gethsemane. He went into the pavement they called Gabbatha, and then he went to Golgotha. 3 places of suffering. There were 3 crosses on that hill that day. There were 3 men condemned to die, 2 unnamed malefactors and a man by the name of Barabbas who was a murderer who couldn't make it that day because somebody took his place. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to holler amen. Lord of God, there were 3 nails that held him there. There were 3. Did you see above his head the accusation? It was written, just this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, 3 languages. There were 3 crowds that cried, crucify him. There were 3 crowds that mocked him. There were three rulers that condemned him, Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate. They all condemned him. There were 3 miracles that day, the miracle of the sun. By the way, there were 3 hours of daylight and there were 3 hours of darkness. The miracle of the sun, the miracle of the stones. The Bible said that the rocks rent and you can't find one today. No matter where you go, that ain't got a tear in it somewhere. Because 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out, it is finished, and the rocks rent. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then there was the miracle of the sanctuary. The Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. That barrier between man and God has been now taken out of the way. And the only thing keeping you from coming into the presence of God Almighty is you. You can come anytime boldly. Hallelujah. Three miracles. There were three men that changed their mind. One was a malefactor. One was a military man. And the other was a man of means, a counselor named Joseph. Three men that changed their mind. There were threes everywhere I looked. There were three Marys that were there that day. Jesus died and they buried him. And he was buried for 3 days and three nights. They were all three Sabbaths. Somebody say amen. Three. Now listen, you say, preacher, what's all that mean? Well, the number three, as you Bible students know, is a reoccurring number in the Word of God that represents something about God himself. It's one of four. In fact, it's the first of four perfect numbers that represent the attribute of God. And more specifically, three is talking about the completeness of God. Now, I want to tell you something, honey. You've never seen God at his best. Y'all sang it a while ago. God's been good. You ain't never seen God be good. You've never seen God at his best until you've surveyed this lonely hill called Golgotha and see the culmination of time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, made under the law, hallelujah, for the suffering of death. And God, by means of Calvary, did the greatest thing that anybody's ever done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three. And so I want to preach a little while. I want to preach a little while this morning on three words that changed the world. Hallelujah. Three words that changed the world. I got 3 points. Ain't that a blessing? Come on now, y'all. Could have been studying 12s in the Bible. They, some of them in there. Three words that changed the world. Now I want you to notice with me here. I want you to notice, first of all, by way of introduction, the strange silence of the Savior. He did not say a word. You understand the Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 7, that it was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. When they arrested him in the garden that night, he never said a word. When they took him to Caiaphas Hall and they brought accusation against him, he never said a word. When they had the trial of him that next morning and they brought in sons of Belial that told lies about him and tried to condemn him, he never said a word. They sent him to Pilate and Pilate examined him and he never said a word. They sent him to Herod, and Herod mocked him and buffeted him and berated him, but he never said a word. They sent him back to Pilate, and Pilate strapped him down to a Roman whipping post and beat the flesh off of his body, and he never said a word. They planted a crown of thorns and drave it down upon his brow, but he never said a word. They put that cross upon his back and marched him up that lonely hill, and he never said a word. They drove spikes into his hands and into his feet, and he never said a word. And they hoisted him up between heaven and earth as a mockery, naked and ashamed before everybody, and he never said a word. But now he's about to say something. Oh, hallelujah. I may take a lap. Do y'all know what that is? Have you ever seen a 300-pound man run past you in church? He's about to say something, y'all. He's about to talk. Honey, and I'm going to say to you that whatever Jesus says, whenever he says it, wherever it is that he says it, you ought to perk up. You ought to pay attention. You ought to be listening to the words that come out of the mouth of the Son of God. But oh, more so on this day, more so at this time, after having suffered the things that he suffered, he's about to speak. What's he gonna say? What's he gonna say? What's he gonna say to men that have ridiculed him and mocked him, spit in his face and lied upon him, mistreated him, harmed him, berated him, and ridiculed him? What's he gonna say? What would you say? What would you say if they made up lies about you and they dragged you to court, knowing full well, honey, there wasn't a soul there that believed he was innocent? Not nary one. Somebody say amen. Caiaphas knew he was innocent. The Sanhedrin knew he was innocent. Those accusers knew he was innocent. The passers-by knew he was innocent. That thief on the cross knew he was innocent. That centurion soldier knew he was innocent. Pilate's wife knew he was innocent. Herod knew he was innocent. Pilate himself knew he was innocent. And they all knew he was innocent, but they still condemned him to die. What would you say if they mocked you, ridiculed you, and crucified you? What would you say? What does he say? There's three words. Are you with me now? Are y'all with me? Are you standing there with me? What's he gonna say? Three words. Father, forgive thee. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I submit to you today that there never has been an utterance come from the lips of mankind before then or since that carries with it a sweeter tone and a more serious effect than those three words. They changed the world. Everything changed that day. Everything changed that day. We don't go to Jerusalem anymore and offer a bull or a goat or a turtle dove. You didn't come in here, let some priest pray for you. You walked in yourself and prayed yourself. It changed. It changed at Calvary. Everything changed. Everything changed. Our calendar changed. I don't care what the liberal God-hating Bible denying professors call it. BC stands for before Christ, and AD is Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. And it all changed right here. Everything changed. Hallelujah. I want to show you these three words very, very quickly if I can. I'm going to give them to you. And I want you to see how they relate. First of all, I want you to see how they relate to the sovereign. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but I can't think of another S word that talks about the Father. Somebody say amen. Don't worry about it. It's called homiletics. And then I want you to see how these three words relate to the sinner. Just in case there's somebody that came in the house today and they do not know him in the free pardon of sin. You do not know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to see how these words relate to you. Hallelujah. And then lastly, I want you to see how these three words relate to the saint of God. So don't go to bed on me. Huh? Number one, as it relates to the sovereign God the Father, it's a prayer to forgive. Somebody help me now. Does it surprise anyone else that Jesus prayed for his murderers before he prayed for his mother? Help me, somebody. Why the priority? Oh, I want you to see that that man hanging on that middle cross
was somebody's son and that he had a father. Somebody say amen. Don't you never divorce the relationship that Jesus has with his father. That is his darling lamb. That's his only begotten, full of grace and truth. That man hanging on that middle cross, he might be beaten beyond recognition. That his own mother cannot recognize him. But that is somebody's son, and that man has a father. And so notice with me the first word out of his mouth, Father. Hallelujah. Now I don't know about you, but I wear many hats. My favorite one is that of Daddy. Somebody say amen. I got 5 youngins, 2 of them's with me. I got 5 children. Somebody say amen. My wife got some kids. She's like that lady living in that shoe. She don't know what to do. And I've often wondered how come I had so many, but I can't think of anybody I'd rather send back. I can't decide. Somebody say amen. And let me say to you, if I hear one of my youngins calling for me, it don't matter what I got going on. Somebody help me. It don't matter. It don't matter what I have going on. It don't matter what I'm doing at the time. My number one priority is to see to the need of my child. And if I'm like that, how much more do you think your Heavenly Father is like that? Don't never forget that that man hanging on that middle cross is the Son of God. And the first word out of his mouth is Father. I submit to you that that got God's attention. Somebody say amen. Oh, I tell you that I believe that that got God's attention. You know, the Bible said that he's seated on the throne of righteousness. He's the God of all things. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's large and in charge. And he's seated on the throne in glory. Somebody say amen. If you've ever wondered where God was in your time of calamity, he's still on the throne just like he was when the good winds were blowing in your backyard. He's still on the throne. I want to say to you on this particular day when Jesus cried out, Father, I believe the Father stood up and walked over to the balcony of glory with every intention of fulfilling the need of his only begotten son. What do you want me to do, son? Let me ask you a question. What would you do if they were hurting your boy? What would you do? What could you do? You'd do whatever you had to do. You'd do whatever you had to do. And that's what God was prepared to do. Huh? Now, I want you to see, first of all, it was a cry of parental instinct. Oh, I want you to notice that the Son of God, when he got into trouble, the very first thing he did was he called out to the Father. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it do us some good to learn that lesson? That when you get into any trouble, don't cry out to your brother. Your brother's got his own problems. Just cry out to the Father. Somebody say amen. And I don't say to you that when you cry out to the Father, it gets his attention. I believe that just beyond that starry veil, God standing there, waiting and willing to do whatever he had to do. Somebody help me. Michael the archangel, standing there with his sword drawn in his hand, looking at the face of the Father, just waiting on somebody to give him a nudge. Somebody say amen. Michael said, Lord, if you'll just let me go, I'll go down there and I'll deliver him from that cross. I'll dispatch those sinners. I'll destroy that world. We can start over and make a better one than that. You don't believe that, do you? What did Jesus tell Peter that night when they arrested him in the garden? When he pulled his sword and cut that old boy's ear off, he said, put your sword up. Knowest thou not that I can pray to my Father, and he'd presently give me more than 12 legions of angels Honey, I want you to understand something, that all of the angelic host was standing on standby, waiting on Jesus just to tell them what to do next. God would have killed him. He would have destroyed this whole thing. Ain't that what he told Moses? You know what they did, don't you? They worshiped another god. Huh? And he said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to kill them all. And I'm going to start over. Somebody say amen. I'm going to kill them all and I'm going to start over. And Moses said, you ain't going to kill them unless you kill me. Bless your heart, sir. May the Lord bless you, cause his face to shine upon you. May your garage be filled with camels. And ne'er a flea light on your dog. Amen. I put a blessing on him. Hallelujah. Jesus, he cries out to the Father, and the Father is at attention. Are y'all with me now? What do you want me to do, son? Just tell me. Tell me what you want me to do. He says, forgive them. And a righteous, thrice holy, almighty God sits back down, looks over at the recorder angel and says, strike it from the record. Somebody help me now. And I want to submit to you today that there'll never be a Roman soldier who'll ever stand before God and give an account for crucifying the Son of God. Oh, I can tell some of y'all don't believe that. You don't really believe that, do you? Well, let me say this to you. You ought to be real glad that when Jesus asks the Father to forgive something, that's the very thing that he does. Because how do you think it goes when you mess up, when you sin? You think God's changed his mind about sin just because it's you, just because you showed up? Honey, he's still upset about it. His wrath and righteousness is still cannot tolerate sin. And so when you sin, his wrath rises up in judgment. And then he looks over on his right hand. And he says, what do you think, son? Jesus says, Father, forgive them. And that's exactly what he does. That's why you ain't dead. 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 If you've ever wondered why God don't kill some of y'all, your pastor's wondered that. Amen. He's prayed something like, God, why don't you just kill them? Well, this is why. Because seated at the right hand of the Father is one as a lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world, who cried out, Father, forgive them. And everything changed. How it relates to the sovereign. It was a prayer to forgive. And that is exactly, by the way, that word forgive, if you like word studies, I encourage you to check that one out. It ain't the same word for forgiveness as it is in justification or salvation's process. Justification's process. Somebody say amen. You go look at it. Get your Strong's Concordance or a computer program. I got computers nowadays. I'm from Alabama, y'all. We just got Google. Y'all got that? and find out. And you'll find out that word forgiveness. You don't know why he prayed for his murderers before he prayed for his mother? Because those men, you don't understand that is the single greatest act of rebellion that mankind has ever committed on that day. It's the worst sin that anybody could ever do was to crucify the Son of God. And God was going to have to kill him had not Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. Now, come with me quickly. I'm looking at what time it is. It's 11:10 where I come from. I was in Washington State a couple of weeks ago. That don't work out there. As it relates to the sovereign, it's a prayer to forgive. And by the way, let me remind you that Jesus only prayed one prayer that God did not answer. And it was on this particular day. And that's another sermon for another time. Other than that, he answered every prayer Jesus ever prayed. It was a prayer to forgive. Now, as it relates to the sinner, now watch this. If you're here lost without God, I want you to understand something. That Jesus was praying that God would forgive the soldiers that pierced him. And the Jews that mocked him. And the high priest that cried, crucify. And the governor that condemned him. Those people who were under impending condemnation at that particular time, he prayed for them. But don't you dare think for a minute that prayer was just a one-time occurrence. No, the verb tense in that prayer, it's a reverberation, hallelujah, that reaches to the end of time. You see, God is not bound in this capsule of time that you and I live in. He's not bound by endless chains of events, successive events that happen like you and I are. That's how come he could show up 4 days late at the funeral and still be right on time. Somebody say amen. He could step in and step out at any moment that he wishes. And when Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, that prayer echoes throughout all time and eternity, so that if there's anybody that's in the room today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, there's three words that he said for you. He prayed for you. He said, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. If you're lost without God, just recall these words. Receive these words. He prayed for you. Oh, I for one am glad for the day when those words became personal to me. Hallelujah. I was in the back seat of an old gray Oldsmobile. I found myself at a preacher's house. I didn't want to be there. Somebody say amen. But I was running from God. That's a funny place to go if you're running from God. Huh? And it got on me too bad. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I say it got on me too bad? I ran out of the house. Somebody help me now. I ran out of the house. I ran to the car. I opened up the car door and I got in, was fixing to leave. And I was in the back seat. Somebody, hallelujah. Wasn't no steering wheel. I found myself in the back seat. You know why I got in the back seat? Because God got in the driver's seat. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. He cranked her up and took off. I said, Lord, where are we going? He said, I'm taking you down to Conviction Boulevard. Gonna show you your sins. I realized I was lost. I realized I needed a Savior. I realized Jesus died for my sins. Hallelujah. But it didn't stop there. He pulled up into Conversion Avenue, hallelujah, and in the back seat of an old gray Oldsmobile 88, he saved my soul. Hallelujah. I didn't have a church. I didn't have a choir. I didn't have a quartet, and I didn't have an evangelist. God saved me in the back seat of that car. Huh? Hey, like, okay, so that one's not working then, eh? That's all right. I feel like T.D. Jakes now. Only not as tall. Every time my elbow bends, my mouth flies open anyway, so I might as well use a handheld mic. I got in Bible college. God saved me and called me to preach at the same time. Hallelujah. I got saved in a GM product. Can I get a witness right there? Now, that don't mean if you drive a Ford, you're going to hell. Now, come on. You probably are, but you'll never make it. You'll break down. Maybe I'm joking. I got in Bible college because my pastor told me to. I took a soul winning class. Found out I didn't pray right. Help me, somebody. Found out I didn't pray right. And that bothered me for about 30 seconds till I realized you can't pray wrong.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. It ain't about your prayer. It ain't about you walking the aisle. It ain't about your works. It ain't about your baptism certificate. It ain't about your Sunday school pens. It's not about your tithing record. It's about what Jesus did at Golgotha's hill. Hallelujah. He saved me. And oh, if he can save somebody like me, I'm here on the authority of God's word. I tell you that he can save anybody. He can save you. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I don't care what kind of sin you got in your life. He can reach back to your first day and take all your sin and wash it away. He can reach into that mess that you're in right now and he can wash your sins whiter than snow. I know you ain't gonna believe this, but I'm gonna tell you. If you'll come to him today, he'll go into your future. He'll get the very last sin that you'll ever commit on this side. He'll drag it all out. He'll forgive you of things that you ain't even done yet. And you'll be justified. You'll be sanctified. You'll be glorified. Hallelujah. A fit subject for heaven. Now what in the world are you sitting there waiting on? As it relates to the sovereign, it's a prayer to forgive. But as it relates to the sinner, it's a pardon to find. What sins are you talking about? I wish I could sing. You wish I could sing. That makes two of us. Number three, I'm done right here, but I want you to see this. You say, preacher, I appreciate all that, but I'm saved. So what's that got to do with me? Let me show you something real quick before we go home. Are you ready? As it relates to the saint of God, these three words, it's a pattern to follow. Huh? Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Help me. Has anybody ever falsely accused you? Has anybody ever said things harmful, true or otherwise? Has anybody ever hurt you? Has anybody ever mistreated you? Has anybody ever done you wrong? Oh, has anybody ever harmed you? What are you supposed to do with that? But you got two options. You can wake up with it every morning and go to bed with it every night. You can let it eat away at you for the rest of your life, living in misery. And the root of bitterness will spring up in your life and choke the life out of everybody around you. Or you can take that thing to Calvary and you can do what Jesus did and cry out, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. I ain't going to have you turn here, but 2 Timothy chapter 4 is probably the most beautiful passage of Paul's life, language. We watched him develop as a Christian just reading his epistles. And these are the last words he said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you ain't got to turn there, but here's what he said. They had a bit of a church problem. Have y'all ever had church problems? Let me ask you a question. How come these church hurts are the worst hurts? I was raised up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My mother was a barkeep at Poteek's Package Store. And I literally, when I got off school bus, I'd come and I'd sit on the end of the bar and I watched things little boys ain't supposed to see. And I watched them drunks beat the devil out of each other, smacking each other off. I seen them break cue sticks over one of those shoulders. 5 minutes later, they're arm in arm, hugging one another, buying each other around. Now, I've been in church 20 years. And I watched this and get upset at that and over some little old insignificant misunderstanding. Church fights are kind of like Jerry Clare told about them two coon dogs fighting over a pot of boiled okra. You ever heard that one? One of them run up there so quick, he eating that slimy mess. He run up there and eat it so fast he thought the other dog ate it. And they fought all day and only one of them knew what they was fighting about. That's how church fights are. Fighting over a slimy old pot of boiled okra. How come church hurts are the worst hurts? How come they last the longest? Anybody ever hurt you at church? I'm going to tell you why, because you expect somebody to act like that out there. You expect them to have a little sense in here, only to learn that people are still people when they put a suit on. Huh? Here's what Paul said. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And he prayed for him. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. You know what he's saying there? Judgment day's coming. By the way, judge nothing before the time. Somebody say amen. That mess you're going through right now, they might be an Alexander the copperhead. I do that every time. Coppersmith, I meant. Copperhead. Alexander the copperhead. That's more like it though, ain't it? You ever met an Alexander the copperhead? Help me, y'all. It's getting too personal now, ain't it? You didn't expect me to bring it home, did you? Well, that's called preaching. I didn't come play around. I didn't come to get you out of the valley. I didn't come to get you out of the storm. I don't have a real good feel-good sermon. That ain't the kind of preacher I am. If you're in the valley, I come to swing by and put a little doctrine down in there with you. You're in a storm. The best place you could be right now is in a storm. Only people I ever seen went into a storm was sent there by the Son of God. And if Jesus sits you in there, just wait. Just hold on. He'll come walking to you. Hallelujah. He'll be there in the midnight hour walking on the very thing you're afraid of would be the pathway to bring him to you. Hallelujah. Paul said, I pray that Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He said, I pray the Lord reward him according to his deeds. Here's what he said about church folks, though. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You can look it up for yourself, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You know, it's funny how folks do when somebody says something about somebody, even people that don't know whether it's true or not, kind of back off. Huh? It's kind of like my brother Billy. We lived in Rossville, Georgia, North Georgia, up near Chattanooga, and lived in a single-wide trailer, and they had a septic problem. Now, back then, they had to take the whole lid off. Instead of the, come on now, don't act like you ain't never had. South Georgia folks knows what I'm talking about. And they had the septic lid off the septic tank. Somebody help me, y'all. And they dug, the dirt was up, and it was mounted up like a ramp. And you just got to know my brothers, if there's a ramp, they're going to jump it on their bicycles. And so here they go, and they're jumping. And the man had to leave. He had to go to town for something. So there it was. You know, when I say it was a mess, in the most etymologically sound way I can tell you, that's what it was. And my brother James jumped it, no problem. My brother Joe jumped it, no problem. Billy, you see, his bicycle was a Frankenstein bike, if y'all know what I'm talking about. It's how poor people do. And it didn't have no seat. The wheels weren't the right size. One pedal was broken. It was just a stob sticking out. So he was trying his best. And my brother Roger and I was too little to try it. I knew better. I was 8 years old. We were standing there watching him jump it. He landed half in, half out. How many of y'all know that ain't good enough? Half in a mess is all in a mess in just a minute. and he reached for us. So we done what anybody would do at that moment. And back he fell, baptized. I've seen the Methodists sprinkle them and the Baptists put them, I don't know what you call that. I don't know what you call that. But there he went down in there. And he was reaching for us and we wouldn't touch him. Finally, my brother James got a tree limb and put it in there and dragged him out. You know that's how it is when somebody makes up lies about somebody or says something about somebody. They don't. Good people just don't know whether it's true or not, but they ain't getting their hands dirty. That's what the church did to Paul. And I'm going to tell you something about Paul. He started that church. He loved them people, won them to the Lord. If they ought to love anybody, they ought to love Paul. But they all kind of just stepped back when he was in his mess. And he prayed for them. Here's what he prayed. I pray that the Lord would not lay this to their charge. You know what he was praying? Father, forgive them. Where'd old Paul learn to pray like that? Acts chapter 7. You ain't got to turn there, but they're taking an old boy named Stephen who was preaching. And they're taking him outside the wall, sitting, they're going to stone him to death. And he looked up and he seen Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Somebody said, I thought the Hebrew writer said he was seated. He was, but now Jesus took that, but he didn't take it sitting down. Can I get a witness? He was standing. Somebody say amen. And Stephen, and I believe Jesus would have done anything that Stephen wanted him to do that day. Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge. You know what he prayed? You know what he was talking about? He said, Father, forgive them. You know what you need to do with that thing that's hurting you, that's killing you, that's just that's keeping you awake at night? That thing you can't let go of? You need to get down in this altar. And I'm not talking about go sit on their couch or like them on Facebook. Somebody say amen. But I mean, get you in this altar and tell God, ask God to forgive them for what they've done to hurt you. And somebody said, well, preacher, I'll forgive them if they'll ask my forgiveness. I didn't what the book says. And by the way, I don't remember ever seeing any Roman soldier ever coming to Jesus asking him to forgive them. He done it. Do you know why you should forgive them? Not for their sakes. Not for your sake. But for his sake. You ought to forgive them for his sake. Amen? You ought to pray, God, forgive them. Somebody said, I can forgive, but I just can't forget. That's not forgiveness. The Bible said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now that's not forgetfulness, church. Forgetfulness is a weakness, and God doesn't have any weaknesses. That's not what he said. He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That does not mean he forgot them. That means he makes a choice to not bring them up. Somebody say amen. You know what you need to do? You need to make a choice. Say, somebody say, what about that thing so-and-so done to you? You just say, well, I don't remember that. Help me, somebody. Honey, listen, you gonna let other people be in charge of your life or what? Live your life based on what somebody else thinks or does to you. Don't let them be in charge of your buttons. You be in charge. You be in charge of your life. You let that thing go. Let God, let the grace of God sweep over your soul like a flood, and he'll help you with that bitterness. You know what's killing our church? I want you to stand with me. I'm done. Let's get a song, brother song man. Would you help me? You know what's killing our church? It ain't the drug crowd or the alcohol crowd. Somebody help me. It ain't the devil neither. It's bitterness in the heart of God's people. And they can't let it go. Now let me say this to you. If you're here lost without God, in fact, let's just bow our heads. In fact, Brother Robbie, can I give an invitation? I don't always do that. Just bow your heads with me. There's some coming to the altar now. You ought to come. And that's between you and God. It's got nothing to do with us. We didn't come to embarrass nobody. That's not why we're here. But I wonder if that'd be somebody say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip a hand up and let me look at it? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to act funny towards you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. I just want to pray for you. Would there be anybody in the house say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You slip a hand up. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody looking. Slip a hand up and let me see it. Anybody in the house? I'm looking all over the house. I see that hand, sir. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. You know, unless you get honest with God, there ain't no help for you. You can't get saved unless you get honest about being lost. Would there be another? There's one honest soul. Would there be another say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. We're about to pray. We're about to pray. Would there be another? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Slip your hand up quickly. I see that hand. God bless you. Thank you. There's two. Ain't nobody looking. God's looking. I see another hand back there. Thank you. You can put that hand down. There's three. Would there be another? Before we pray, we're about to pray. Hold it up and let me look at it. Slip your hand up, preacher. That's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm worried about my soul. Preacher, pray for me. Would there be somebody else? There's been three. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, you know who's lost and who's not. The all-seeing eye of God goeth to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. Thank you for what you do. And I thank you for Calvary. And I trust, Lord, that you'll do for them what you did for me. Give them the boldness to make a decision. Give them the boldness to walk an aisle, pile up in an altar, and say yes to Jesus. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look up at me. If you raised your hand, you'd like to come pray, won't you come? Won't you come right now? If one of these preachers will pray with you, won't you step out? If you raised your hand and you're serious about it and you want the pastor's down here, he's ready to pray with you. Would you come? Are you serious enough about it to raise your hand? Are you serious enough about it to walk an aisle? Would you come? And while they're contemplating that, church, look at me. Here comes one right now, preacher. Here comes one. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Get somebody to pray with her. How about, would there be another? I seen two other hands go up. I seen two other hands. Do you want to come pray? That's right, sir. Come on, preacher. Here comes another one. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. That's the best decision you've ever made. That's the best decision you've ever made. There was another one. I don't remember where you were at, but I saw one more hand go up. Do you want to come? Come on. Come now while we're watching. Preacher's watching. Going to have somebody pray with you. Wouldn't you like to settle the issue? Now, here it is. Either you're lost or you're saved, and either way, you need to know. And there's somebody that can take you back there and let you know. They'll show you for sure. Would you come? Would you come now? Would you come now? Church, look up at me while they're contemplating coming. Now, I want to do this with heads up, my eyes open. Has anybody ever hurt you? You got bitterness in your heart. You got bitterness and you got unforgiveness in your heart. Won't you come talk to God about that? Just step out right there where you're at. Come on now. There's been some coming. There's already some here. By the way, there's probably some over here really needs to come, but they don't want to be the first ones. So maybe you don't need to come. You just come pray. God's doing work on somebody's heart. Make it easy on somebody. Now see, you don't know who's coming and why. You don't know why they're coming. You can just come. God's touched your heart. We're going to sing one, ain't we, brother? No? Okay. Just play softly. That's right. Come ahead, brother. Let's pray again while these are coming. Make it easy on folks to come. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you that you're still God even when calamity hits. Even when Christian people don't act like a Christian and cause harm and hurt. And oh God, you know how it feels. You know how it feels. And so I pray that you would help those who've come. May the healing balm of Gilead flow at the house of God this morning. Thank you for what you do. Lord, I pray you'd get a hold of that one last one. I didn't see where they were, but you know exactly where they are. Don't let them leave out of here lost. And we'll thank you for that and give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, preacher.
You know, no matter how many sermons I preach on forgiveness and forgiving others, every time I hear one, God deals with me about it. I don't think we could hear enough preaching on forgiveness. But I know one thing, God spoke to us today through this preacher. And you can do two things with that. You can go home with it and just act like it was nothing to it, just another day at church. Or you can go home with it as a voice of God speaking to your heart and trying to change your life. One thing we preach here is application. It doesn't matter. I can bring in the best preacher. He can preach the best sermon. But if you're not willing to apply it to your life, then it doesn't matter. We can bring in all the big name preachers. We can do anything you want. But until you get serious about applying it to your life, till I get serious about applying the message to our lives, then it doesn't really matter who preaches it. Help me now. I sure am thankful for the message this morning. I'm thankful for the trip to Calvary this morning. I'm thankful that God forgave me. I'm glad it just wasn't a one-time thing. I'm glad that God loves us. We've been on mercy and grace all morning in Sunday school. We was on that mercy and that grace. Lord knows we don't deserve it. I don't know who else looked up. I really don't. Or raised their hand for salvation. I don't know who you are. But I want you to know that I'll be standing by that back door. Before you leave out of here, if you'll come talk to me, I'll do everything I can to get you in front of a Bible where you can read for yourself how to be saved. You make a decision for yourself and you can call out on God. And I can assure you, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of shall be saved. Not might be, not maybe. So you see me afterwards. Church, I appreciate you being here. We're going to have graduation tonight at 6 o'clock. Please come back and support them. They went through 3 years of Bible college to get to tonight. That's three. Amen. Quite an undertaking and something we ought to be proud of as a church. My Sunday school class, they all in my Sunday school class. And as I was telling my class, please be here and support those that are in our Sunday school class. And Brother Bud will be preaching tonight, and we'll have a good time. We'll have church just like we always do, and we'll have a graduation right in the middle of it, all right? And we want you to be here and be a part of that. Y'all give Brother Bud a hand for being with us this morning. Brother Jake, I'm going to let you pray, and I'm going to slip out to the back door.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the message this morning. Lord, I thank you for touching our hearts, Lord, in song, and Lord, ministering to us. God, I pray that we not leave out of here the same way that we came in this morning. God, I pray that you touch us, Lord, as we go. Lord, remind us of your forgiveness and your love and your compassion on our lives. And God, I pray that it would not end there, but Lord, that you change us through it. Lord, I pray that you bring us back safe again tonight, Lord, so we can hear your message once again. God, I thank you for your love and your word. Lord, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.